appreciate that those kind words. I do think an awful lot of Robert Hall and his good work over many years in India, and of course local work here. And think so much of Charles and just this whole congregation, steadfast and steady, and doing God's work, and that's a wonderful blessing. Now, we had a fella, Wade Phillips, from up at Elkmont. You know, Wade was converted to Christ a few years ago, and after he finished his career at UPS, he decided he wanted to preach, do mission work. So he went down to Northwest Florida School of Preaching. He's still down there, and we had him scheduled to come tonight. And unfortunately, he'd had a problem with his hip, and he ended up having to have surgery yesterday. So we had to. So Ray says, "I think I'm just going to call Charles." And I said, "Well, if he's not tied up, I believe he'll come." But I didn't know Charles just had surgery himself, which is rather amazing. And I'm not sure Ray did, but you're right about Charles. He's not going to check up. He told me that you all were studying relationships this summer, and he assigned me the topic of friends. And I began to think about that a little bit, and the more I thought about it, the more I warmed to the subject. Because actually, because human beings are made in the image of God, that's what makes us capable of friendship. You see, Genesis 1:27, we're created in the image of God, but God is capable of friendship. And because God is capable of friendship, we are capable of friendship. As a matter of fact, every ability that we have comes from God. Every characteristic, every element of our existence that's of a spiritual nature comes from God. Let me say, well, how do you know God could make friends? Well, who was Abraham? James 2, verse 23, he was called a friend of God. And if you look back in the Old Testament, you see, I think it's 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. It's one of the Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 7, where it refers to the fact that Abraham is God's friend. But more specifically, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. Has this characterization of Abraham being the friend of God. But folks, don't we know that friendship is one of the great blessings of human existence? Isn't it just a marvelous thing? You know, I love the fact that Ginger and I, of course, Ginger's with me tonight. She's my great friend. You talk about best friends. Well, they're best friends. She's my great friend. I've been married 37 years. But we've been blessed to be here for those 23 years and have developed friendships. And it's just a marvelous blessing with the McKees, knowing them for all these years. Ruby and then Hilda and that family. And all, you know, just Paul, just keep going all the way through. What a blessing friendship is. You know, we have our families, and we love our families. But I think all of us, especially as you get a little older, you find out that not everybody that's in your family is your friend. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Matter of fact, sometimes they're the folks you got to watch. But the fact is, isn't it wonderful when somebody who is a family member is also your great friend? One of your best friends or a close friend. What a wonderful combination to have a family member as a real and true friend. Well, the Bible does have quite a bit to say about friendship. And because we have 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Because we have that passage, we know that what the Bible says about friendship is going to be some of the best information about friendship we could ever find. Actually, the best information about friendship we could ever find. And when we think about friendship in the Bible, one of the books that I always think about, those passages we find in Proverbs. And, you know, those are the ones that come to mind immediately. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. That verse reminds us that a real friend, the kind of friend that we need to be to each other, as Robert said in his prayers, we love each other. A real friend is not a fair weather friend. A real friend is what we say through thick and through thin, through the good times and the bad times. A real friend is somebody that we can always depend on. You know, everybody's your friend when you're on top. Isn't that right? You know, you get, what's that old Joe Tex song? Y'all probably didn't listen to much old rhythm and blues back. But Joe Tex had a song out years ago. He said, people sure act funny when they get a little money. Yes, they do, Lord. Well, they do. But not only do the people who get the money act funny, everybody that's around them starts acting funny. You know, you just let the word get out. Well, Daddy's thinking about giving you some money. You might not have seen Daddy in 3 years. Hey, well, I wonder how the old fellow's doing. Let me go check on him. You see, that's real life, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 19, I think it's verse 4. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. Wealth makes many friends. You know, it's the person that will be a friend to you regardless of your material circumstance. And that's what Christianity is about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. See, we're not supposed to be materialistic. And particularly when it comes to friends, Proverbs 19 verse 6 says, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Somebody's giving out gifts, everybody is his friend. Treat the favor of nobility. Have y'all heard there's some kind of couple over in England had a baby? Did y'all hear about that? Gonna be king one day. Little baby, George. Never have liked the name George. I got beat out on a little blonde girl one time by a fella named George. Fortunately, I found a better blonde girl. Hey, pretty good comeback. I was born at night, just not last night. I tell you, the fact is, you know, treat the favor of nobility. Everybody's paying attention to that baby, which is fine. But we had our first grandbaby 4 years ago. Only one so far. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. But remember now, everybody loves you when you're on top. Let's not be that person. Let's be a friend to people no matter what. Let me give you an application. And this sometimes gets a little close to home. You see a husband and a wife go through life. All right? Everything's fine. They have good jobs, make a good living, and everything's fine. But as they get older, they get through their 60s fine. They move right on through their 70s in good order. All right? But they live a long time. They get up in their 80s, maybe even their early 90s. And what happens to the money and the substance they had earlier in life? It dissipates. It's gone. Nothing lasts forever. Not everybody has enough to live like they lived when they were working. And I've seen it happen as a minister. I've seen it happen way too often. The kids who used to come around don't come around anymore. And the friends they used to have, they're not friends anymore. Well, a Christian, we're to develop those friendships and keep them going. Now, another thing that Proverbs reminds us about in terms of friendship is Proverbs 18:24. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. The old translation says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. The rest of the verse says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But let me emphasize this part of it. You've got to be friendly in order to have friends. And the man that who complains that he has no friends, I know this may sound harsh and I don't mean it to be, but the first place he needs to look is in the mirror. He needs to look at himself. And see, you know, self-examination is the toughest thing to do, but it has the unique ability of being able to reveal things that are indiscernible by any other method. You look at yourself and be sure. I had a friend when we preached. We were in LaGrange, Georgia for 8 years. I had a friend down there, and he wasn't, he was a good fellow. But he occasionally would get just so sensitive. He says, I just don't have the friends that I'd like to have. And I finally just blurted it out one day. I said, man, I know you're a good fella and you're a warm-hearted guy, but the way you present yourself to other people, you've got a wall up there. You've got a little coldness going on in the way you present yourself to others. And he said, I didn't think I did. Of course, he said it a little stronger than that, Robert. If you've ever had those kind of conversations, I said, well, brother, that's the reason. Because I've had people, you know, tell me about it. They say, well, why can't, you know, I feel odd talking to this particular individual. But the fact of the matter is, if we want to have friends, we got to reach out. We have got to reach out. You know, sometimes, hey, admittedly, you can go visit a congregation and get overlooked. I mean, it can happen. It happens at Hobbs Street. I suspect it happens everywhere. We try not to let it happen, but believe me, it still happens. And I'll never blame anybody for it, but if somebody comes in at the last minute and scoots out at the first amen, you're not going to have much of an opportunity to develop a relationship with those people. And I know I've been here before, and I know the way it is here. You like to visit. You like to be around each other. That's the way it needs to be. Friends need to show themselves friendly. So that's a little bit out of the book of Proverbs. Now, here's another topic with regard to friendship. Friendship is usually a blessing to life. Would you agree with that statement? Take, for instance, Lazarus. Was Lazarus, you reckon he was pretty pleased that Jesus was his friend? I reckon he was. Mary, Martha, the whole bunch of them. But sometimes friends can lead us down a difficult pathway, a harsh pathway, a pathway fraught with challenge and hurt. 2 Samuel chapter 13 tells the story of a beautiful woman, a lady named Tamar, and a young fellow named Amnon, who was the son of David, who loved her. Now, David, of course, had a number of wives, and Absalom was his son, and Amnon was his son, but there were different mothers involved with that situation. God suffered that to be so, but in the beginning it was not so. Now, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:2, Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Even then, with that unusual set of circumstances from our perspective, it would not be acceptable for Amnon to have a relationship with Tamar. Now we find that sort of thing did occur when we read our Old Testaments closely and carefully. As a matter of fact, one thing that he hears later on is he went about this the wrong way. But here's where Amnon got in trouble. He listened to a friend. But, verse 3 says, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. Now, that's not a compliment. Jonadab was a very crafty man. He was a tricky fella. And, of course, you know the story. He came up with this plan. You pretend to be sick. She'll come to you. She asked for her to feed you and so forth. David will send. And, you know, all of this occurred. And then he has his way with her. And then as soon as that occurs, he rejects her. You know, he doesn't do right by her after he has had this illicit relationship with her. Which, by the way, is a lesson, you know, whatsoever things written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope, Romans 15:4. Sometimes in our world today, so mixed up and so wrapped up in immorality that it is, sometimes young women feel like, well, if I give in to this boy, he'll treat me better. No, no, no. Usually the very opposite occurs. So, you know, we need to teach our young folks strongly. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Anyhow, Amnon got into terrible trouble. Devastation. Because he listened to a friend. What does that remind you of? What passage? 1 Corinthians 15:33, right? Be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. The old translation. I love that Paul said right there, and I wonder sometimes, I can't know this, I don't know how you'd know it, but I wonder if Paul was remembering what we call 2 Samuel 13 when he wrote that. Because he begins 1 Corinthians 15:33. Of course, that's in the context of the resurrection chapter of the Bible, and don't reject what the truth is about resurrection. But I wonder, you see, Amnon's trouble came out of deception. So he says, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. You know, we all hear of peer pressure. I bet they've got peer pressure in India too. The force of the society pushing one along in a particular direction. There's positive peer pressure and there's negative peer pressure. Now, Amnon, you can't say that what happened to Amnon was Jonadab's fault, because he could have said, no, I'm not going along with this kind of foolishness. But he fell into what his friend was leading him to do. Unfortunately, deception is often a deadly partner with friendship. Well, my friend wouldn't do that to me. No, here's the truth. Your friend shouldn't do that to you. But sometimes your friend will do that to do. Proverbs has something on this particular matter. Chapter 12 and verse 26. Proverbs 12:26. It says, the righteous should choose his friend carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. For the righteous should choose his friend carefully. Carefully. Be so careful about these. See some beautiful young people in the auditorium this evening. Listen, be careful about who you decide to form fast friendships with. Because, you know, Ginger and I have some friends in New York. We've gone up and done some VBS work up there from time to time, and I've done some preaching up there. And there's a lovely family. Three kids, all of them grown basically now. And the little girl, who's a grown woman now, 27 years old, got wrapped up with the wrong people. Here is somebody who was raised going to church every time the door is open. But when she got her own free will, see, that's the thing. God always wants to bless us, but He won't do it against our will. He allows, we have to, Ezekiel 18, we have to bend our wills to Him. When she got a hold of her will, she decided, I don't want to hang out with these boring church kids anymore. I want a little bit more excitement. Well, cocaine's exciting, isn't it? And immorality is exciting. But what's the end of that road? Devastation. And see, she was deceived. It doesn't mean that she's not responsible, but how it started was some friend began that process. Now, I think I've mentioned this here before, but I'm what they call a reformed heathen. You know, I repented of my sins when I was 28 years old, was baptized into Christ. But before that, I was not a nice guy. I guess I was nice enough, but I was. But the fact of the business is, it was in a world where, you know, if somebody could offer you something, you could take that, could change your life. Horrible. Be careful. Be awfully careful. Proverbs 13:20 says, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, there are times to call a cab. There are times you find yourself in a set of circumstances as an adult or as a young person. You find yourself in a set of circumstances, you can see where this is going, but yet you don't want to upset your friends. Let me tell you what to do. Upset your friends. Go home. Call your daddy. Blame him. He doesn't mind. Blame your mama. I told the boys, I said, if you get in a situation where you think, hey, this is getting to where I can't, and you don't have your vehicle with you, You either get sick, I know what I'm saying, because you are sick spiritually if you're in that situation, or you just say, hey, my mama told me I had to, and you whatever, or my mean old daddy, but get out of there. And don't find yourself in an Amnon situation. This whole thing makes us think of a passage in James. Now this is some rough stuff James puts out. He says, adulterers and adulteresses. You know, that's... he's not talking about the physical sin of adultery. He's talking about spiritual, including that. But the whole realm of their rebellion against God or their temptation toward materialism. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. See, that's another element here. It's not only people that we have to be careful about. It's things, ideas. And James makes me think of John, 1 John 2. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world's passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Not only do we have to be careful about the people with whom we are friends, but we also have to be careful about the things we make close friendship with. Somebody says, well, how can you be friends to a thing? Listen, there are a lot of folks who have placed themselves in such a materialistic set of circumstances in life that they feel closer to things in their lives than they do to people in their lives. Yeah, that's right. He holds up the phone. I left mine in the car. I'm addicted to mine. I'm just going to admit it. I got to have contact, I feel like. But you know, the thing about the stuff, we all have our stuff, we like our stuff, but the fact is, I remember folks who used to say, my best friend is a bottle. You ever had anybody like that in your life? My best friend is a bottle. Others have made immorality their closest friend. Some people, I know, have you ever met anybody like this? They're so wrapped up in their house that you go to their house, there's three places you can sit down, the rest of it is off limits. It's just there to look at. You know? But that's when you're friends with something. Now, I love a nice automobile. I really do. I just got Ginger a new car, and I inherited her car, which is now my new car. It's 11 years old, but it's my new car. When I see Charles in that Miata, I think, man, I want one of those. And don't you be surprised. You say, well, wasn't that Brother Irby go by here? And, yes, sir, one of these days. If I live long enough. But you can get in a relationship. I had a friend of mine, wonderful fella, still a great friend. He laughs about this himself. He started making some money, and he decided he wanted a Porsche. And so he went and got one. Went and had it painted. But you remember, some of you fellas will remember when that deep orange was a very popular color on foreign cars like that, some vets and stuff. He had it painted, and he would drive that thing to work. He'd be so nervous driving that car to work and back home, he finally had to go out and buy another car to drive while he let that one sit in the yard. Well, that's not owning a car. That's the car owning you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. It's tragic when we do that because it ends up with all sorts of death. Now, the subject of friends and Christians, we cannot even think about talking about this without thinking about our old song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh my, what a beautiful old idea. He indeed is our best friend, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He told his disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Now Jesus tells us an awful lot about friendship in that passage. It's good advice from the best friend anybody can have. He tells us what it means to be a friend. It means to love one another as he has loved us. So that's sacrificial love. That's real love. That's sit down, slow down, think about it love. That kind of love never says, poor, poor me. That kind of love never says, why can't I? That kind of love never looks at what I can't. If I love Paul, I can't look at him and say, man, I wish I had what he had. That kind of love says, I'm going to rejoice when those folks are rejoicing. And I'm going to weep when those folks are weeping. The people I love, I'm going to rejoice with them and weep with them. Now that's something he tells us. Benny says, greater love than, you can't love anybody anymore, Jesus said, than to lay down your life for them. Now, he did that for us. Now, he's better at that than I am. Because, I'd lay down my life for Ginger and the boys and my daughter-in-law and the baby and my friends. I'd lay down my life for my friends. But see, Jesus, he trumped that by laying down his life for his friends and for those who are still wrapped up in sin. So when we start talking about love in Jesus Christ, we've got something. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth what? His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means I've got to love people that don't love me first. See, a Christian's friendship is different. A lot of people say, well, I'll be friends with you if you'll be friends with me. What's wrong with that? Conditional. We got to say, I'm open. I want to be friends with you no matter what. I'm going to be your friend. If you think about it, there's no. This is just so beautiful. Plus, it allows us tremendous freedom. It makes life so much easier to live, to have the attitude. Now, listen. He's given us the words of life. We have what we'll be judged by in John 12:48, he says. And then he's given us the key to the Christian life. Love one another. I know we're about done here. I like this quotation from C.S. Lewis. By the way, if you have a person that enjoys thinking about things and they're considering just the idea of God, get them some C.S. Lewis books and let them read those. C.S. Lewis is not a Christian in the New Testament sense, but he was a remarkable writer. Here's what he said about friendship. He said, friendship is unnecessary, like philosophy, like art. He said, it has no survival value. In other words, you get enough to eat, you get enough to drink, you get enough sleep, you get enough exercise, you can survive. He said, it has no survival value. Then he said this. He says, rather, it is one of those things that gives value to survival. I like it. Friendship gives value to living, to surviving. I do differ with him just a little bit, though. You can read a lot of good writers and still find places where you want to check up. There's one friendship that is absolutely essential. There's one essential friendship, and that's the friendship with Jesus. The friendship with Jesus Christ. Lately I've been signing my letters, your friend. And aren't we blessed to be able to know and to say that Jesus Christ is our friend? Well, I pray these few thoughts on the idea of friends and friendship tonight have been a benefit to you, and I believe it's about time for us to be dismissed and wait for our devotional period. Anybody have any thought or question you'd like to share?